A cockpit alarm screamed at Brian Robertson, warning him something was wrong. But every other instrument looked fine. His instinct said danger, but the majority of data said otherwise. He ignored the warning and almost crashed. In that terrifying moment, he grasped a fundamental truth about organizations. We routinely silence critical voices when they don't align with what leadership wants to hear. This insight sparked the creation of Holacracy, an operating system now running hundreds of companies worldwide, from Medium to Zappos. Unlike management fads that slap fresh paint on crumbling foundations, Holacracy tears down the entire structure and rebuilds it from scratch. It's not about better bosses. It's about eliminating the need for traditional bosses altogether. What emerges is something closer to a living city than a corporate machine, where power flows through constitutional rules rather than executive whims. Your smartphone runs smoothly because its operating system manages everything seamlessly. Your workplace runs on software designed for the Industrial Revolution, a predict and control model built for simpler times. Robertson discovered this problem from every angle. As an employee, his insights vanished. As a manager, he hit walls of authority. Even as CEO, embracing servant leadership, he became the bottleneck. The problem wasn't him, it was the invisible architecture of hierarchy itself. When cities double in size, innovation per resident jumps 15%. When companies double, productivity per employee drops. Cities thrive through distributed self-organization, people sharing space with clear boundaries, but no overlord approving every decision. Your body works the same way. White blood cells don't need permission to attack a virus, yet most organizations require every decision to crawl up the chain while opportunities vanish. In Holacracy, authority flows from a written constitution that supersedes everyone, including whoever adopted it. The CEO formally surrenders autocratic power to a set of rules, transforming the parent-child dynamic that infantilizes workers and exhausts managers. Workers can't hide behind bad bosses, and managers can't solve everyone's problems. Both sides must grow up. This constitutional approach initially terrifies people. Evan Williams adopted Holacracy at Medium to escape CEO burdens. Tony Hsieh implemented it at Zappos to safely distribute power. The transition proved brutal. Training managers to step back and employees to step forward felt like teaching adults to walk again. But once that muscle developed, people started thinking like entrepreneurs, asking, if this was my company, what would I do? The constitutional approach introduces governance meetings, where teams continuously redesign their own structure. Unlike democracy, of the people, by the people, for the people, Holacracy creates governance of the organization, through the people, for the purpose. Traditional strategy assumes reliable forecasting. As Nassim Nicholas Taleb notes, we cannot truly plan because we do not understand the future. Rather than doomed five-year plans, Holacracy uses heuristics, simple rules like emphasize X even over Y, where both are positive values in tension. For example, emphasize documenting and aligning to standards even over developing novelty. Such strategies aren't permanent truths, but contextual guidance helping roles navigate daily decisions. Most org charts don't reflect how work actually happens. That gap breeds frustration. Holacracy bridges this through governance meetings, where people process tensions, the gap between what is and what could be. Instead of traditional hierarchy, Holacracy uses nested circles, like Russian nesting dolls. The basic building block isn't a person, but a role. Roles can break into sub-roles, becoming circles. This liberates people as free agents, filling multiple roles rather than being trapped in a single box. Each role has three elements: a purpose to express, possibly domains to control exclusively, and accountabilities to enact, ongoing activities like monitoring customer feedback. This clarity transforms conflict. That frustrating coworker? Often it's two roles clashing, not personalities. When you separate souls from roles, you address structural tension without attacking the human. You're not saying you're incompetent, you're saying this role needs clearer authority. Holacracy structure shows nested circles where each part maintains autonomy while being part of larger wholes. Governance meetings occur monthly in each circle, following five steps: check-in round, administrative concerns, agenda building, processing each agenda item, and closing round. Tensions transform into governance changes through six steps. The proposer describes their tension and states a proposal. Clarifying questions seek information only. The reaction round allows opinions without crosstalk. The proposer can amend. The objection round identifies concrete harms. And integration modifies the proposal while resolving the original tension. The facilitator acts as ruthless referee, cutting off anyone speaking out of turn. This creates a sacred space, freeing participants to act as organizational sensors without reactive drama. Valid proposals must address tensions limiting one of the proposer's roles, filtering out vague attempts and personal need proposals. Valid objections must meet four criteria. The proposal would diminish the circle's capacity, it's created specifically by this proposal, it's based on known data or predictions where adaptation isn't possible before harm, and it limits one of the objector's roles. Unlike consensus, only one person needs to sense a tension for it to be relevant, no buy-in required. This applies only to governance decisions, not operational ones, creating space for autocratic control within appropriate boundaries. Holacracy harnesses human consciousness through four essential elements: encoding, governance outputs, expression, role fillers implementing the design, variation, governance process changing the code, and fitness testing against the organization's purpose. This creates design without a designer. The organization evolves through successive iterations, one tension at a time, producing emergent results far smarter than any single person could design. Adopting Holacracy creates profound transformation as power redistributes. For leaders accustomed to heroic roles, this presents an existential challenge: the courage to let go. The heroic leader paradigm limits the entire organization by that leader's capacities, creating unrealistic expectations of superhuman performance. When leaders step beyond this role, they experience relief from no longer pretending to be perfect. Many discover newfound liberation, fully expressing opinions without steamrolling others because their authority no longer makes anyone vulnerable. The transition challenges everyone. Many secretly enjoy blaming bad managers. The victim position lets them off the hook. Holacracy eliminates this hiding place by giving everyone power to process tensions into meaningful change. Using this power can be frightening, but the system makes avoidance difficult by continually illuminating where you're hiding. As one participant noted, the process resembles meditation practice, noticing your resistance to reality rather than projecting it onto others. As organizations adopt clear role structures, personal politics gives way to role-based practices. Holacracy separates organizational functions from human connections, creating distinct spaces: personal, tribe, role, and organizational. By maintaining these boundaries, authentic connection flourishes without being corrupted by organizational agendas. Evolution will inevitably transform our organizations. We can either steward it or fight it temporarily, but evolution will ultimately prevail. As complexity and change accelerate, thriving organizations will harness the full creative capacity of everyone involved. Holacracy offers not just a management technique, but a fundamental reimagining of how humans organize to express purpose. The question isn't whether your organization will evolve, it's whether you'll participate consciously or resist until the pressure becomes unbearable.